Oh, hey, would you like to be able to control any argument for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Here's how you do that. First and foremost, we have to recognize what an argument is. An argument is simply two people trying to be valued and understood at the same time. That's simply what it is. Go back to the last party you guys were at. The last, social environment, social engagement, last party, okay? And they don't actually have to be arguing. They could have a heated conversation. But these guys are here in the corner, the two of them are like having at each other, right? One person is talking. Boop, 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 boop. What is this other guy doing? You can almost physically see the wheels going in the guy's head about what he's going to say, right? Okay, so this guy stops, boom, and this guy starts. Is he restating?
No.
No. He's stating his case, right? What is this guy thinking?
What are you going to say next?
Yeah, how can I say that again? You didn't hear me. How can I say it again? So this guy's talking, and this guy's wheels are going, right? When this guy stops, does he restate? No, and it just goes back and forth and back and forth that way. That's what an argument is. Okay, here's how you control it. Let the other person go first. Let the other person be valued and understood first. Once we pace their need to be valued and understood, and we prove it to them by paraphrasing back to them what they said to us, watch what happens to them. They will automatically relax. They'll realize they don't have to say it anymore. You got it. Then we can lead them to our point of view, which happens to be the correct one. But until we pace them, we do not earn the right to lead them. Does that make sense? Until you come into my 3F world, don't even mention 6F to me. You guys get that? Cool. For those of you who are still married, take this back to your store, back to your home, and try it. Okay? Try it. As a matter of fact, as long as we're talking about home, whenever I work, Portland is my home. Whenever I'm home, I like to tell this story. Most of the time I get to work, it's not these one-day things. Most of the time I get 2 or 3 days with an organization, which is, you can be more effective. But anyway, long story short, at the end of the first day, this is a company called America. I ended with active listening. Okay. The beginning of the second day, I was doing a new icebreaker, brand new one for me. So I'm doing this new icebreaker and kind of like preoccupied to see how this is going to work. And this gentleman in his late 40s, executive vice president of the company, all but two of the 120 some odd people in the workshop were his subordinates. He's telling me about something about active listening. And I have to admit, I was half listening to him. And so he's telling me, I said, you know what, why don't you do this? Why don't you, let me finish this icebreaker. I'll do the intro and then I'll turn it over to you. You can share this with everybody because I think everyone can benefit from this. Which, by the way, is a dangerous thing to do. But anyway, he's okay, fine. So we finished the icebreaker, which was a roaring success. Thank you very much. And then I did my little 2-minute thing to get everyone comfortable and then turned it over to this guy. He stood up, addressed the 120 some odd people and said, started off this way. He goes, well, first I want you to know I was the only person on the board that was against this kid coming in and telling us how to do our business. Yeah, strong way to start, right? And then he said, and then we found out what we're paying this joker. I was dead set against it. I'm going, oh God, what a way to start. So I have to admit that all day yesterday I was listening to you with a chip on my shoulder. So when I went home, I'm going to disprove what you said. So I tried this active listening stuff at home. Sitting at the dinner table, he had a 17-year-old son. Sitting at the dinner table and my son's talking to me. So I did the, what's attentive body language? Okay, so I put my fork down, I looked, I did the head nods, I smiled. Okay? And I couldn't call it verbal attend 7 years ago. I couldn't remember it, so it was grunts. He goes, okay, what's the other thing? Grunts? Okay, yeah, well, I was grunting like crazy. Uh-huh. Okay. And halfway through, my son goes, hey, Dad, are you okay? Yeah? Well, why are you listening to me? And when I tell the story, it's kind of funny, but it wasn't funny then. Because this guy, now understand that he's 40 some odd years old, he is everybody but two persons boss, and when he's telling this story, he is crying. And when I say crying, I don't mean like tearing up, I mean, sobbing, I mean crocodile tears, and I'm going, oh my God, what a positive way to start! But actually, you know what it was? It was because a very empowering, kind of nurturing group. And people applauded, and a few people stood up and hugged him and stuff, and it was actually very cool. Much cooler than the opening I had planned. But I also knew that there's a reason why this guy's in my class. There is a reason why he's here. So I made a mental note, and I made a note to made a point to sit at his table during lunch. And I started asking him about this stuff. And he said, "You know what, Michael? I have to tell you, I used to hang on every single word. When he was 4 or 5, I was climbing up the corporate ladder. I would leave meetings early. I would cut my day short just because I wanted to hear this. Dad! But last night, I realized that that 17-year-old is a stranger." And I said, "Okay, well, tell me more." And he said, "Well, you know what? I realized I couldn't tell you the names of his 3 best friends. I couldn't tell you the name of a single one of his teachers. Couldn't tell you what, I know he's going to college, couldn't tell you what he's going to major in. I couldn't tell you what his favorite sport is." Now, Zach, my oldest, 10, was 3 at the time. That's why this guy's in my class. And I vowed never to let that happen to me. Now, most of you are parents. And again, I told you I get to have teeth. So let me ask you, who are your kids' best friends? Can you tell me their names? Can you tell me just one of their teachers? Can you tell me what's their favorite sport? If they're into video games, can you tell me what their favorite game is? And if you know what the game is, what's their favorite character they play? Take the skill of active listening home. Take it home. Contrary to popular belief, home is not the place we go to when we're tired of being nice to people. Okay, let's go to the next page. And as long as we're in that fill in the blank mode, number 5 is pace our customer. And number 6 is lead our customer. Just fill in the blanks, put your pens down, and we'll go through this quickly. Okay.